If you have a copy of God's Word with you tonight, we're going to turn to a very, very touching portion of Scripture. We're going to come tonight. God's bringing us to the heart of the gospel. God's going to bring us to the heart of the good news tonight. And you'll find it if you turn with me tonight to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 23 tonight. And if you come with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, come with me down, please, to verse number 33. And as you're finding the place, I want to thank you for coming tonight. It's lovely to see you. And the mission continues. And please do invite others to come along. And you know me by now, I don't preach big, highfalutin sermons. I'm an ordinary 5'8 man that preaches in the 5'8 language that people need to understand. I believe that's what we need today. We need men that preaches to people's level. And we need to preach the gospel that's going to meet the need of the heart. Men that preach over people's head, they think they need to go away and learn how to preach the gospel. We need to preach today in a language that people understand. I want you to listen tonight as we read God's Word together. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, reading verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them, derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened. And the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Ending our reading there at verse number 46, and we know that the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his own precious truth. The most moving story ever to be told is the story of the cross. The most moving song ever sung is the songs of the cross. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. 'Twas on that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. You know, friend, tonight there's no story, there's no song that touches the heart than the story of the cross. And there is no other story tonight that can bring tears to the eyes than the story of the cross. One Christmas morning, one Christmas afternoon, the year was 2007. My Aunt Aileen happened to ask me, "Well, what did you get for Christmas this year?" And I passed her over a CD that was entitled "The Old Rugged Cross." Joe Stafford and Gordon McRae. And I remember looking over to my auntie, and the next thing all I could see, she started to cry. I said to her, "What's wrong, Aileen? What's wrong?" And she started stroking the title of the CD with her thumb. She says, "It touches me and it makes me cry." I says, "What does?" "The Old Rugged Cross." When we come to our Bible reading tonight, I want to bring you a message that God has given me, and I want to call this message tonight, the story of three crosses. The story of three crosses standing side by side on Calvary's rugged hill. When we come to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23 and verse 33, here we have tonight the darkest picture this world has ever seen. Because it was so dark. And what was happening when the Lord Jesus was being crucified? You know, even the very heavens bowed in midnight mourning when the sun refused to shine. And even the rocks rent in twain in their dumb grief when they saw their Maker being put to death. I often think of those rocks, you know, because those rocks tell me that they were far, far softer than some of our hearts tonight. Do you want to know why? Because time and time and time again, we have been brought before the cross, and yet our hearts are so unmoved. So unmoved. And tonight, as we come to God's message tonight, I want you to come with me to Calvary's Hill, because behind each of these crosses there is a story to tell. And I want you to come with me, first of all, to one of the outside crosses. And I want to tell you a story that this cross tells tonight. I want to call this cross the cross of rejection, because that's the story this cross tells tonight. The story of rejection. You see, crucified on this cross is a dying thief. Is a thief tonight, crucified there because of a sin. And yet when I look at this man this evening paints man at his very worst. Here's a man and he's dying. Death is staring at him in the face. And he's looking into the eyes of the Lord Jesus. Looking into the eyes of the Son of God. Looking into the eyes of the one that loves him. Looking into the eyes of the one that's dying for him. Looking into the eyes of the one that can save him. And he says, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." Oh, here was a man tonight. Here was a man that wanted saved, but it wasn't from his sin. This man wanted to be saved from his situation. You know, there's many like that tonight. And I have come across them time and time and time again. Maybe Maybe a parent and, oh, they've no time for God. No time for the people of God. No time for the Bible. Maybe a wee child takes sick. Pastor, will you pray? Will you pray for my wee boy? He's sick. I says, we'll pray. And I would sit beside them and I would take them by the hand and I would pray with them. And you know the thing was, many a time God has been merciful and God has answered prayer. And within a fortnight, what happened? God was soon forgot about. How many people is like that tonight? Man, they'll seek the Lord and man, they'll want you to pray. And as soon as God answers, then the whole thing's forgot about tonight. There was a man from my hometown in Knocknacloy. He was only a young fellow at the time. And he was involved in a very, very, very bad road accident. They didn't know whether he was going to live or die. And George Dixon was the Presbyterian minister in Knocknacloy Presbyterian at that particular time. This young lad's parents, they went to the Reverend Dixon and pleaded with him to go to the hospital and speak to them, even though they weren't saved. And when he was coming round and could respond, the Reverend Dixon came to the bedside and talked to him. And took him by the hand. He says, Derek, you have been very nearly been in eternity. Derek, God has been merciful to you. You're still here. And Derek, I'm here to talk about your soul. And I'm here to talk about you trusting Christ, and we're going to talk man to man. He says, Mr. Dixon, I'll get saved if God gets me out of this bed. Mr. Dixon says, listen, Derek, listen, you mightn't get out of that bed, son. Mr. Dixon, I'm telling you now, I'm going to make the deal with God. If I get out of this bed, I'll get saved. You want to know something? Derek got out of that bed. The Reverend Dixon met him again. Now, Derek, what did you tell me? You will get saved when you get out of that bed. I know that, Mr. Dixon, oh, but I'll tell you what, I'll get saved whenever I get home. I'll get saved whenever I get home. You know, friend, God was merciful to that young man, and God touched that young man's body. And that young man made a miraculous recovery, and he got home. My friend, that's over nearly 40 years ago. And that man tonight is as hard as the road that he drives on tonight. Listen. You can't make deals with God. God won't deal with deals. God won't deal with deals. I have had more people than enough coming to me. Just like this man here. I get saved, but this man wasn't looking saved from a sin. This man was looking saved from some situation. Is that you tonight? You know what was wrong with this man? This man here in this cross. Do you know what was wrong with him? All this man could see was his present situation. Do you know the one thing he couldn't see? He couldn't see the sin that was damning his soul. That's what he couldn't see. You know, I had a gospel mission 7 years ago in the wee village of New Mills in County Tyrone. And I preached that night on sin. The wee three words you get there in Romans 3, all under sin. Protestant, under sin. Free Presbyterian, under sin. Church of Ireland, all under sin. Baptist, all under sin. All under sin. And I preached that night, all under sin. There's no exclusions. This wee man says, I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you. That's all right. I went in and I sat down and talked to him. He says, you're talking about sin tonight. And you're trying to tell me I'm a sinner. I says, I'm not trying to tell you a sinner at all. I says, God's trying to tell you a sinner. But I don't think I'm like that. I says, what makes you think I don't like that? Because I don't do bad things. I don't do terrible things. I have never been on drugs. I've never smoked a cigarette in my life. I've never let alcohol touch my lips. Do you think I'm really a sinner? I'm telling you, Northern Ireland's filled with them people. I says to him, do you not believe God's word? Do you think God's a liar? I took him to Romans 3, verse 23, and this is what I said. I says, you know, this is what God's word says tonight. For we all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. Listen tonight, listen. I will never get a man or a woman to believe John 3:16. And I'll never get a man or a woman to accept John 3:16 until I get them to accept Romans 3:23 first. If there's one truth a sinner needs to believe and a sinner needs to accept before they accept and believe John 3:16, is Romans 3:23. Because if you don't accept yourself and place yourself as a sinner, you'll never be saved, sir. And I don't care what you think. If you don't take the place of the sinner, you'll never be saved. Never be saved. But this man on this cross tonight was a man this evening that couldn't see his sin, wouldn't admit their sin, wouldn't admit his guilt, wouldn't admit his face the truth. He wouldn't see, can't see the need of his sins to be forgiven. He couldn't see the need of being saved spiritually. And as a result, do you see people tonight? Listen to me. Do you see people who cannot see their need? People who cannot see themselves as sinners. People who cannot see their need to be saved. At the end of the day, what do? They reject Christ. And they go to hell. And that's exactly how this man died. He rejected Christ and went to hell. What a tragedy tonight. A man hanging on a cross. A man staring death in the face. A man looking into the eyes of the blessed Savior. And rejected him. And I'll tell you this, there's many in the north of Ireland have died the very same way. And they weren't all drunkards, mind ye. The church-going man dies just like him. The self-righteous man will die just like him. The religious man will die just like him. If you don't take the place of the sin. The cross of rejection. What a sad, sad story. Then we come to the other outside cross. And boys, but this cross, it tells a different story. Because this cross, it's not the cross of rejection. This cross here is the cross of repentance. This cross here tells a different story. This man here was no different from the other man, really, because he was seeing the same person, looking into the same face of the same man. But as I look at this cross, do you know what I see? I see a heart that is broken. I see a heart that is broken. Broken by what, you may tell me. You know what broke this man's heart? You know what it was? It was the love of Jesus broke his heart. The love of Jesus. Nothing can break the heart like the love of Jesus. this man on this cross tonight. His heart feels its guilt. On this cross hangs a man this evening who owns up to his sin. He feels a sin. He knows a sin. And he's burdened by it and he's guilty by it. You know what this man sees? This man on this cross really sees what he really is. God bless the sinner who sees themselves as they really are in God's sight tonight. My dear unsaved friend, I want you to listen to me very carefully. How do you see yourself in the eyes of the Almighty? Do you see yourself as a lost sinner? Because God's word teaches us tonight, all under sin. Do you feel it tonight? What opened this man's heart? This man was a thief tonight. This man was a robber tonight. Yet, he saw something that in Christ that broke his heart. You know what it was? I believe it must have been what he heard Jesus say. He said to me, what did he hear him say? You know, I believe when the Lord Jesus was being horrifically and brutally crucified to the cross, he noticed something that he never saw in anybody before. Instead of this man in the middle cross punching and kicking at those who were crucified him, he actually prayed for them. Instead of holding his fists tight, he opened his hand. And not only did he witness the Savior opening his hands, he witnessed the Savior opening his heart. When he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Friend, he must have saw the Lord Jesus opening his heart for the very man that was crucifying him to the cross. He must have said to himself, love so amazing, so divine. As he saw the mocking mob and the scorning soldiers crucifying him to the cross, yet with compassion and love, forgiveness flowed from his heart. Ah, it was love that conquered this man's heart. Love. Many years ago, there was a young fella who was impossible to handle. He was filled with badness inside and out, and the father could and mother could do nothing with him. In those days, you were allowed to smack your children. Remember those days? Ho-ho. Every time I think of it, my legs can still feel it. Well, the smacking didn't change us, wee lad. All the punishments that the parents mustered upon him didn't do a thing. Locked him in his bedroom, might as well have let him go out and play. One day, this young lad decided to take the family dog. It was just an old mongrel dog. The old thing was done. And he thought he would take it out into the backfield and teach it new tricks. And you know what the old story is. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. No matter what this wee lad try to get the dog to do, the dog just wouldn't do it. And the reason why the dog wouldn't do it was because the dog couldn't do it. The old mongrel dog, it was just done. Done. A And that young lad, in an awful, cruel rage, took an iron bar. You know what he did? He beat that old mongrel dog into a pulp. And if that wasn't bad enough, he threw the iron bar down and then he started kicking it with a steel-toe cap boots. He ran over and in a rage he sat down on the ground. And something unbelievable happened. The old mongrel dog, bruised and battered and bleeding, wasn't able to get up, but began pushing itself forward with its two hind legs. With every ounce of effort, the old mongrel dog pushed to where the young lad was sitting. And the old mongrel dog lifted up its eyes and lifted up its head. And with its blood-splattered nose and its tongue, began to nuzzle its way through the boy's hands and began to lick his face. You know, if there's any way a dog can speak to you, it's through its eyes. And the old mongrel dog, with its big brown eyes, looked into the lad's face. And the lad could read what the old mongrel dog was saying. You know what the old mongrel dog was saying? It was saying, no matter how much you've beat me, and no matter how much you've hurt me, I still love you. That young lad jumped up and ran into the house and says, Mom and Dad, I've done a terrible, terrible thing. It was so terrible that the old mongrel dog had to be put down. That young lad was never the same. You know what broke his heart? It wasn't the father's beatings. It wasn't the punishments that the parents used on him. Do you know what broke his heart? It was the love of an old mongrel dog. Tonight I want you to look at the cross tonight with two eyes. And I want you to see tonight the Lord Jesus with nails in his hands and feet. The Bible says in the Old Testament, in the prophecy of Isaiah, that his visage was marred more than any other man. Nobody was ever beaten. Nobody was ever tortured more than the Lord Jesus. And yet to a broken world today in this year of 2018, Jesus still says, I love you. See from his head, his hands and feet, sorrow and love, the flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? That's what broke this man's heart here on this cross now. And sinner friend, tonight you say this, the love that Jesus had for me, to suffer on the cruel tree, that I a ransomed soul might be, is more than what tongue can tell. And this cross tells the story of repentance, because this thief here turned to the man on the middle cross and say, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord Jesus turned and answered him. You know, the Lord Jesus will always answer a seeking sinner. And he says today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. And I want you to come to the cross of all crosses. Tonight we come to the middle cross. And this middle cross tells a different story. You see, this cross tells the story of rejection. And this story tells the story of repentance. But we come to this cross now very briefly. And here we have tonight the story, the cross that tells the story of reconciliation. Because here on this cross hangs the crucified Savior, dying for you, dying for me. Because of our sin, you and I are at enmity with God tonight. See, if you're not saved tonight and you've never repented of your sin and you've never come to Christ, let me tell you tonight, you are at enmity with God. And you're an enemy with God. But the Lord Jesus died. He died there to bring you and I to God. In Newcastle upon Tyne, again, another young lad and his father had fell out. The young lad left home. Was never heard of again for many, many months. The mother took ill. She was confined to bed. And the doctor said to the mother and to the father, dear, you haven't long left. And the mother turned to the father and said, I don't want to die until I see the face of my wee boy again. He was in his late teens, early 20s. Telegram was sent out. There was no emails or text messages or Facebook away back in those days. Telegrams were sent out. And this young lad that fell out with his father was found in London. And the telegram reached him and he was told that his mother was dying and wanted to see him. Soon as he received the telegram, off he went up north again to Newcastle upon Tyne, jumped off the tram into the house up to the stairs where the bedroom was, where the mother was dying. The father was at the other side of the bed. Oh, aye. At the other side of the bed. And the young lad, he wouldn't look at the father. Wouldn't look at him. And the mother took the wee lad's hand and took the father's hand and brought both hands together in her hands and clasped them together and covered them with her hands. She sat up in the bed and smiled at what had just happened. And she lay back in her head in the pillow. And suddenly she became a lifeless corpse. in her lifeless hands were two hands that were at enmity with one another, but now reconciled through the death of a mother. Thank God tonight sinners can be reconciled to God through the death of one Savior. And tonight, I believe if you're not saved in this meeting, the Lord Jesus wants you to take His hand tonight. Because you're an enemy of God. I don't care how religious you are, religion could be coming out of your ears, but I'll tell you, you're an enemy of God because of sin. But the Lord Jesus wants to take your hand tonight in His hand. And He wants to take you and reconcile you to God through the power of the death of the cross. And friend, tonight, here's the question, will you let Him? Because you must. And if you don't, you'll be lost forever in hell. And as I close, this is where I'm going to finish. I want you to take a look at this outside cross now. Take a good look. A story of rejection. I want you to take a look at this cross, the story of repentance. This man died. The one in the middle cross died too, but each of them died in three different ways. See this cross? See this cross tonight? These two outside crosses. Tell me, when it comes your time to die, and listen, love, your time to die will come. There's no avoiding it. Which of these two crosses will tell your story? One of them will. One of them will. One of them will. And it's all to do with what you do with the man on the middle cross. It's all down to what you do with Jesus, which is called Christ. As I conducted that funeral service this afternoon in Tullyleash Parish Church, I told the vast congregation today there's many things in life you need to get right first time. And one of the things you need to get right first thing in life is dying. Because you've only one go at dying. And if you don't die right the first time, there's no coming back to change it the second time. But here's how I'm going to finish. If you were to die tonight, and nobody can guarantee that it won't happen, let's say if it did, which of those two crosses tonight will tell your story? This cross that tells the story of rejection? Or will it be this cross tonight that tells the story of repentance? Because whatever way it goes, one of those crosses will tell your story.